Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the second day, Kaf Hei b'Menachem Av, Parashas Re'e, Tavshinayin Vav, the evening of the first day, Sunday, 28 August 2016, webcasting from the tribal upland of the sons of Yehuda, whence came the Jews. Well, the top story in Israel today was the threat of the government's toppling by the Haredim, misnamed in English the Ultra-Orthodox, which is a really stupid name. Like being ultra-pregnant, you are or you are not. The proper name for them is non-Zionist Orthodox. Tel Aviv is being redone by construction of its light rail network and a major installation requiring the choking off of one of Israel's most important roadways was done yesterday and drove the Haredim to accuse Minister of Transportation Chaim Katz of being a liar. It's possible to argue, as he did, that for the sake of life and limb, it was safest to do this on Shabbos. Okay, the Haredi powers seemed to say, but then it turned out Katz was on the scene speaking to reporters. There was a drone taking photographs. It became a media event, which Shabbos observant Jews have a right to understand as an insult to the Sabbath. The three Haredi MK said they were going to demand that the Prime Minister fire Katz, or they will bring down the government. Something like this happened in 2000, if memory serves, the moving of a major electrical generator, I think it was. Yesterday, supporters of the exemption allowing for the construction said that to block off this artery on a weekday would lead to a massive traffic jam in the country. This country the size of New Jersey, with half of it uninhabited desert. We're not the size of Monaco, but we're quite small nonetheless. And it was argued that such a mess could hinder emergency vehicles wanting to race to a fire or an accident and then to a hospital. Well, as to the particulars of this incident and what may or may not come of it, the government in 1988 did fall over a religious question, and it could happen again. In any case, it's not my bailiwick, though I will say, God bless the Haredim for their over-the-top response that befits the gravity of Jews violating the Sabbath in this country. I would argue the Sabbath is the quintessential Jewish mitzvah. It's number 4 in the Ten Statements, which is a better translation than Ten Commandments, and arguably the first 3 of them do not command to do something in the material world. They're statements of metaphysical beliefs, principles. Number 4 is the first to command doing something. And it's even above number 5, honor your father and mother, without which the world would be in chaos. What marks the Jews is this adherence to the Sabbath to a different calendar. To borrow from the anti-Semitic American writer Ralph Waldo Emerson's description of Henry David Thoreau, we march to the beat of a different drummer, and the metronome of time that keeps the beat for us cordons off the seventh day as a day of rest. The 3 Hebrew letters we use to write the word Sabbath are the same 3 we use to write to sit. On the Sabbath we sit and refrain from doing things in order to step outside of time and observe God's creation. The Sabbath is the timepiece of the Jewish people as a religious community, as Passover is the anniversary of the people as a political entity in the world, the nation of Israel. Minister of Transportation Katz claimed he respects Jewish tradition, religious values, and Israel's Jewish character, and what was done, he said, was not a breach of the law and the status quo. But the Haredim claim he also boasted of how he had not given in to pressure from the Haredim, which justly lights their fire for Katz's obvious disrespect for the Sabbath, so characteristic of too many Jews. When a Jew like Katz says he respects Jewish tradition, I'm reminded of the song of that name from Fiddler on the Roof, in which the portrait is painted of Jews who do things to respect tradition, even when they don't know why they do them. This turns their Jewishness into a form of Oriental ancestor worship. We do it because we honor our parents and our grandparents. They did, and we'll keep the tradition alive, like mindless robots. A Jew like Katz does not see the need to keep the Sabbath for himself and the Jewish people in this lifetime, apart from honoring the past. It's the founding spark of the Jewish people, and when a Jewish community abandons the Sabbath, it disintegrates, which is what happened to the masses of Jews who fled to America. Jewish identity detached from the religion does not survive. And this latest brouhaha has come at a time when there is a drive by the post-Jews in Tel Aviv to legalize commerce on the Sabbath. Former Chief Ashkenazi Rabbi Lau had an op-ed today. He's currently the Chief Rabbi of Tel Aviv, and he too insists that the original Tel Aviv arrangement for the Sabbath under Meir Dizengoff, the mayor in the 1920s, be adhered to. He himself wasn't religious, Dizengoff, but he truly respected the institution. And this business of wanting to license 160 businesses is a clear violation of that compact. And the rabbi also rightly said, most important, this is a slippery slope. Who knows what the next demand and concession will be? And Israel that loses its true religious identity will fall, as the American Jewish community is now dying off, the Orthodox not included. Did you see how the Jews in Florida were polled? And Hillary is their choice by 2-1 over Trump. And I say these people are idolaters of their own imagination. Hillary, like Bruce Jenner, is an icon, a symbol of the generation. This annoying woman in her speeches, annoying to the extent she keeps trying to sound like a tough guy, a tough kid on the block. Carly Fiorina, by contrast, when she spoke, she was far more convincing and intelligent, well-informed than Hillary. She had her knowledge and her thoughts, and she was never unfeminine. More keeps coming out about this woman, Mrs. Clinton, her corruption, her racketeering. And today on Fox in the Morning, Rudy Giuliani said that as a federal prosecutor, he convicted people under the RICO statute, a racketeering statute, for far less than what's known about her now. He said the Clinton Foundation is a racket. Worse, this woman sold uranium to Russia that wound up in Iran. She's as much of a menace to America as Obama, without Obama's malice. He is an enemy of the United States, and that's why he frees terrorist chieftains to bring back a traitor who, like him, sides with Muslims. Hillary, on the other hand, I think is just so over her head. She doesn't know what she's doing. There have been reports by aides of hers leaking her bouts of confusion about different things. I don't think she knows what she is doing. I can understand her corruption in installing her private server in order to conduct the Clinton Foundation racket, though I doubt it ever occurred to her that this could cause a serious security threat to the United States. She never thought of it. And here are the Jews in Florida, 5% of the population, they say, reported to be overwhelmingly in Hillary's camp. And one wonders, what are they thinking? Are they so enslaved to their self-image as liberals, progressives, that they want to spend more on the poor? Are they oblivious to this woman's total unfitness for the role of president? These supporters of hers evidently do not take into consideration her performance as Secretary of State, one mess after another. Or lying in public, it's as if they're blind and deaf to these instances of her misbehavior. It's the image of a woman as president that matters to them. My worst fear is that these WikiLeaks put out more incriminating material. For too many voters, it will have no impact. So much corruption has already spewed from this woman for decades, and it still has had no effect on her supporters, or so it seems. Liberals and leftists in our time do not vote on the basis of facts known about the candidates, but how he or she himself idolizes the candidates. Like Obama, like Fidel Castro, who wanted free health care for everybody, that communist, never mind the mess Obama has made in trying to imitate Castro. His admirers continue to back him. Likewise, Hillary's. The support of these Jews in Florida are just giving out more evidence of their brain-denying community. And the more Israel heads towards a religionless Israeli identity, the more Israel, in its current incarnation, is in danger of sinking into the memory banks of Jewish history, too. God bless the Haredim for blowing their tops at Minister Katz. As for the actual work done on the Sabbath, then his turning it into a chance for a press conference and doing public relations for himself, thereby exhibiting a dullard's ignorance of the importance of the Sabbath to the existence of the Jewish people. And it is likely that their fury was heightened by that other initiative calling for licensed commerce on Shabbat mentioned last webcast. Well, I am not Haredi in rejecting army service, I don't, or rejecting the study of math and science. They do serve a great purpose in their unrelenting insistence on preserving the Sabbath, which is the spiritual counterpart to the material necessity of preserving the people with an army and a military establishment. Especially in light of the military threat to this country by the 550 million Muslims surrounding us on three sides of our tiny, by comparison, country. This was on display in memory.org, posted on 19 August, the special dispatch number 6580. And the topic was the articles in the magazine put out by the Muslim Brotherhood franchise in Jordan, written by a Mr. Jamal al-Shawahin. In one piece, he claimed the Jews call themselves a chosen people and are trying to eliminate members of other faiths and to convert the entire world. Talk about psychological projection. This is Islam's global project. In another article, he said that in the recent Euro soccer championships in Paris, the French increased their surveillance of Muslims when they should have been surveilling the Jews and Israelis who are behind all the terror attacks in Europe. You know, like the Charlie Hebdo and the Haït al-Kasheh attacks and the Bataclan attack and the Brussels airport attack and the truck driver in Nice who alone murdered 80 people. In his Muslim mind, this writer's Muslim mind, the Jews have been behind all of these atrocities. In the first article published in mid-June, he wrote, quote, "The Jews believe there is no room in the world for more than one religion, their own. And if they can eliminate Islam, they will do so. And then they will put an end to Christianity. Their campaign of oppression will then bring them to the East, to East Asia, to eliminate Buddhism, Hinduism, and all non-Jewish faiths. Furthermore, if they are able to decisively end the matter in Palestine, then they will spread eastwards and in all directions to conquer additional territory and destroy peoples. They believe in the ultimate motto that the entire world belongs to the Jews alone, and that others should leave it, either willingly or by force. It doesn't matter where they go so long as they leave the world. With this defective thinking, the Jews would even declare Judaism the official faith of any planet where life is discovered. They believe they are the chosen people and that all others were created merely to be hewers of wood and drawers of water, and to serve them in every humiliating capacity. The Jews' opinion of themselves is held not only by the religiously observant and the rabbis, but is widespread and inclusive. We cannot call any Jew secular or moderate. They're all equally given to shedding the blood of anyone who is not a Jew. Nothing in the Jewish lexicon or in the Torah on which they rely indicates love, peace, eternal rest, or even paradise, or the hereafter. They focus only on how the Jewish soul is reincarnated from Jew to Jew. They have believed this since the dawn of Islam and even before, when they urged the Roman prefect to crucify Jesus. Throughout history, as it is known, they have used and still use the most depraved methods to achieve their ends. This caused their isolation in Europe and their persecution by the Germans. And enough already. I gotta stop there. There's more, but whew. This is all projective material. The charge of believing that we have the right to overrun the world and convert everybody. This is Islamic doctrine. Hitler, too, made the same charge. He believed the Jews were out to kill all Germans, take over the country, and use it as a base to overrun the world. But he, Adolf, would stop them. Hitler projected onto the Jews his own worst self, as do these Arabs. This is who our neighbors are, but Israelis have never been able to see this. They think our neighbors want their own state, and believe, these Israelis, they even have a right to that. They have a right to their anger because they are the victims of our Zionist movement, and we have to make it up to them as best we can. No, the Arabs here were offered a state in 1937 by the Peel Commission, a state larger than Judea and Samaria, but they turned it down. 10 years later, the UN offered them a similar state and turned that down, too. The entirety of the Oslo abomination was offering them a state, and look how that turned out. Hello, Israelis. You got to wake up. These are not Palestinians pining for statehood. They are Arabs, and they are Muslims. Both sufficient conditions to stimulate their desire, as Muslims and as Arabs, to destroy and loot our state. Arabs and Muslims are two venerable group identities, and the Arabs here don't need a third called Palestinian, especially when this identity is nothing but a variety of intellectual property theft, the theft of the Jewish people's connection to this land over thousands of years, when there is no record of a similar Palestinian connection to this land. Their claim of peoplehood and the right to a state here is completely bogus, but post-Jewish Israelis have never had the right stuff, to borrow from Tom Wolfe, to stand up and denounce the lives of Palestinian nationalism, which are as fanciful as anything any Christian or Nazi Jew hater ever came up with, as an example of the Jews' alleged evil deeds. As a Jewish community without Shabbos, like the American Reform and Conservatives, who are in demographic chapter 11 and cannot survive, so Israel, without its religion, is helpless before the propagandistic lies of our Arab and Muslim enemy neighbors.
קראתיך השם שיר המעלות ממעמקים קראתיך השם השם שימה בקולי שימה בקולי אוזניך קשובות לכל תחנוני המעלה המעלות ממעמקים קראתיך השם השם שימה שימה בקולי שימה בקולי תהיינה אוזניך קשובות לכל תחנוני והוא יפדה את ישראל מכל עוונותיו יפדה את ישראל והוא יפדה את ישראל מכל עוונותיו יפדה את ישראל
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. And that was Psalm 130, verses 1, 2, and 8. In the good news department, a court in Malaga, Spain, put a preliminary restraining order on the city council's vote to support BDS. A pro-Israel organization there brought the case, and this is ACOM, A-C-O-M, led by an Angel Mas, who has successfully forced other municipalities voting for BDS to rescind their orders. Though he's not sanguine about the future, his group has had its successes, but other municipalities keep joining the list. Since last week, this is from Friday's J-Post, seven new cities in Spain have joined the BDS movement. In this case, these comprise 400,000 people. Angel Mas says, quote, that the aggressive boycott campaign continues with new anti-Semitic declarations being approved almost every week, close quote. Also, ACOM's lawyer, Ignacio Palacios, says the boycott is, quote, thinly disguised under a veil of deceiving human rights narrative. It is an anti-Semitic initiative, close quote. Well, that's encouraging that there are others who see through the deception. As I've said, like the so-called human rights NGOs here. They're not human rights NGOs because the greatest violation of human rights here is to be murdered, or anywhere. And the number of Jews murdered here by Arabs far outstrips the number of Arabs unjustly killed by Israelis, civilians or in uniform. The number one human rights crime in Judea and Samaria is the murder of Jews by Arabs. And that is why these so-called human rights groups are front organizations for the enemy. But it's encouraging that in Spain, Still a notoriously anti-Semitic culture, there are individuals who see through the lies of BDS. These people pretending to support Palestinian statehood in Judea and Samaria, and nothing more. Not that it's so difficult to see through the BDS deception. The text commonly voted on in these city councils, one after the other, calls for a boycott of Israeli products so that, quote, people will know they are in a space free of Israeli apartheid, close quote. You have a product from Judea and Samaria on the shelf in some supermarket, and it's an apartheid area. And that's the tip-off. The anti-Jews have these delusions of Jewish evil that have no basis. And using the word apartheid as the tip-off here, it's a way of the unconscious communicating its own pathology. It's a charge based on a delusion. And indeed, the entirety of the war against Israel is based on a delusion, the existence of this ancient nation, that its entirety had its country stolen by the Jews. So, in Spain, it was good news, but bad. And even worse, out of France, JTA on Friday reported that Jewish children in that country are disappearing rapidly from the public school system, where the harassment by other pupils has become insupportable, intolerable. So they're all registering in Jewish schools. And of course, their parents now have the added financial burden of the tuition. These French citizens, these Jews, are paying to support the public schools, but now their children cannot attend them. The JTA report said that 30 years ago, the majority of Jewish children in France went to the local public school. Now only a third do. And one suspects that financial straits are a principal reason. The percentage is not even lower. Things are getting serious for Jews in France and Belgium, where the same phenomenon seems to be at work. Jews are flocking to Jewish schools, to kids. The newly elected head of the CREF, the National Jewish Organization in France, one Francis Califat, interesting name, half French, half Arab, he said, quote, in the Paris region, there are virtually no more Jewish pupils attending public schools due to the bad atmosphere of harassment, insults, and assaults against them, close quote. So the first noticeable uptick in violence against Jewish children in schools was noted in 2004, during the demonic Second Intifada, I add. Before then, the number of reported attacks per annum, he said, in schools were just a few dozen. Now, he says, per annum, they're in the hundreds. We'll be right back. Last note, if it's any consolation to the rising tide of violent attacks against Jews in Europe, by mostly Muslims, the Europeans themselves are taking a beating. Last week, Germany's Minister of the Interior, Thomas de Maizière, called on Germans to prepare for a catastrophic breakdown in daily life in the event of a major terrorist strike, which was the implication. He asked the people of Germany to stock up on bottled water for at least 5 days and keep 10 days' worth of food. Citizens should also be prepared to help the military in directing traffic, finding accommodations for the suddenly homeless. My goodness. Sounds like German domestic intelligence is expecting a major attack by Islam on German infrastructure that provides basic services. I long for the day when the West ceases the use of radical Islam and Muslim extremists and all those words and phrases that are deceptive. The enemy is Islam, plain and simple. Old-time, old-fashioned Islam, hungry to overrun the world, steal all its wealth, and kill all non-Muslims. Hence the delusional accusations at us Jews. Okay, that's it for this Sunday night. I'll be back, God willing, on Tuesday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.